If you take your Bibles, we're going to be in a lot of different places today. We're going back to the book of Proverbs. But before then, we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How many of you have ever been around someone that's sick? All right. How many of you, do you like to be around people that are sick? If you know someone is sick, what do you want to do? Stay away from them. You don't want to be around someone that's sick. At work, they'll tell you, if you're sick, stay home. The school tells you, if you are sick, stay home. Why? Because we don't want their germs, right? Stay away from people who are sick. That's common sense, I think. Now, sometimes we have to be around them anyway because life is life, right? If my wife is sick and she had a little bit of something going on not too long ago and she just got this cold real quick, came on, left, not sure what it was, I had to stick around a little bit. I mean, I tried to, you know, distance myself because I just didn't want that. But, you know, when you are sick, you want to stay away because no one wants to catch a bad germ. We've had those, and we don't want to catch a bad germ. So we tend to stay away from people who are sick, from people who have things that we don't want to catch. Okay, now, we're going to talk about in the Bible, there are people that God says to be careful about being around them because you may catch what they got. And we don't want to do that. If you're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, I forgot my glasses. They're in my office. Paige or Sydney, could you run? I'm sorry. For some reason, I call out my favorite daughter's name first. I don't know why.
Don't get yourself.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33. I could probably do this without glasses, but just in case, I don't want to mess up my King James Version and make it something else. You didn't spit on them or put fingerprints on them, did you? Yes.
Oh.
Okay. Verse number 33, be not deceived. You know what it means to be deceived, right? Be tricked. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived, Paul says. Why? He said, evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications, evil lifestyles, wrong lifestyles, wrong habits, bad personalities, what do? They corrupt what? Good manners. In other words, this idea that we need to be careful about being around people who can corrupt the good in us. We need to be careful about that. Let me give you another one. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, in verses 6 and 7, he said, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sanctified for us. I want to talk to you this morning out of Proverbs, and we're going to be going over to Proverbs now, about people that we need to be careful of being around. People that if we spend too much time with, it can rub off on us. And Proverbs gives a lot of warnings about people to be careful about being around. Sometimes it just says avoid them. Sometimes it says don't be around them. Sometimes it says don't have company. Don't get around these people. Why? Because they will corrupt you. They will change your heart. They'll change your attitude, and you will end up like them. You know, I've heard it said, I was a youth director for many years, and, you know, I would preach and teach to teenagers, be careful of your associates. Be careful of who you're around, because if you're not careful, they'll rub off on you. And inevitably, one of them would come to me and they would say, well, you know, I think I can change them. I think I can have a good influence on them. And most of the time, it did not work out that way. We need to be careful of who we get around. And what I want to do is go through five of those in the book of Proverbs. We got five of those in the book of Proverbs. There's probably a lot more of them, but as I read and marked, these are the ones over the past few weeks that God has given me, and these are the ones that I'm going to give you. And I'm going to solicit some help from people here. I've already talked to them and asked them to help me. And I hope that you won't be bothered by this. I hope not. But it's a great way of illustrating and help us to understand maybe a little bit better what we're to do. Now, I do want to say this at the onset, and I'll probably say this at the offset, is these characteristics that I'm going to give you, every single one of us in most of these have probably exhibited them. There is a difference between a person that lives this way and a person who happens to do these things once in a while. Okay? We all can sin. You're saved, you're still going to sin. John tells us that. Therefore, confess it. All right, we're going to sin. It's going to be a part of our life. But it should not be, certain sins should not be the pattern of our life. And so when I go through these, it's not that, okay, I've done that before. No, it's I live that. Therefore, I need to be very careful. Okay, so let me give these to you. Number one, in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse number 14, Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 14, he says this, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." He said at the beginning there, enter not into the path of the wicked. When you're talking about the Bible and you're talking about words and what they mean, the path here is their life, entering their path of life. Be careful about following with them on their path. Enter not into their path. Be careful about entering into their life. He said the wicked. Now, who is the wicked? When you think about wicked, here's what I think about. I don't know why, but if you was to ask me, Brian, what give me a picture of wicked to you. You know, they have those things. I forget what they call them, those tests. And if you was to say wicked, you know what would come to my mind? Now understand, I'm going on 53 years old. The Wicked Witch of the East. How many remember The Wizard of Oz? All right. I was so glad when it finally came out in color. Weren't you? You know, when it finally came out in color, that was fantastic. How many of your teens have seen The Wizard of Oz? Oh, cool. Yes, it's a classic. You remember The Wicked Witch of the East, right? She had a big long nose. I think she had a wart. She wore black hat. Is it the Wicked Witch of the West? The East was good, the West is bad. That explains why West Siders are bad and East Siders are good, right? Okay, just checking. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that, Marilyn. West Siders are good people too. They are. But you did come over. You came across the river, so good. Good. The Wicked Witch of the West. She was a bad witch. Every time I think of wickedness, I think of black, I think of long nose, I think of warts. I just think of that kind of stuff. But you know, when you're thinking about wickedness, and the Bible's talked about wickedness, it's not always that type of person. It's not the drug dealer. You know, you think of a wicked person, you think of a drug dealer type of person that goes about lurking in the alleys and, you know, doing this and doing that. Or you know, that's a wicked person, but that's not really what Proverbs is warning against here. If you would, well, we're not going to go there for sake of time, and hopefully we'll get through this real quick. Psalms chapter number 10, verses 2 through 11, gives us an idea of who the wicked are. There's two things in that passage. Number one, they tend to be wicked people are very prideful people. They're very prideful. In other words, they are very selfish. They tend to want to do things their way. They really have little concern for what God's word says. Everything is about them and everything centers around them. It's all about them. They're very selfish, but the second half of that, or prideful, the second half of that is they tend to be very aggressive people. Very aggressive people. In other words, the wicked person is not necessarily going to be real passive. Okay, they're going to have a wickedness about them, self-centered, going against God, doing what they want to do, living a sinful life, and they're going to be in your face about it. They're not going to be quiet about it. They're not going to hide it. They are who they are, and they want to be who they are. And so they're going to do what they do, and they want you to know what they do. They're very aggressive in their life and what they do. Now, I'm glad you said amen, Lee. Could you come up here? I need some help. Here's what I want to do. I know this is a little off cuff. I would like to, through these five things, just to kind of personify these things. Not that I picked him because I thought he was wicked or anything like that. But Brother Lee, tell me, how do you think a wicked person would look? If you were expressing yourself and you would to express wickedness, what would that look like to you? Yeah, like a wicked look. How do you express it to us? Okay? No, I want you to do it. I want you to tell me. I want you to do it. Show us. Excellent. Excellent. Now, come over here. I want you to stand right here. Yeah. You volunteered, brother. All right, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to put that look on for them for about the next 10 minutes. There you go, good. All right, we got the wicked. Number two, we have the foolish. Don't stop, there you go, good. The foolish, chapter 14. You're doing a good job over there, Lee. I just want you to know, there you go. Chapter 14, verse number 7. Go from the presence of the foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. We got the foolish. Who are the foolish? Well, the foolish is a little bit more intricate than the wicked. It's a person who opens their mind to any passing thoughts. In other words, they're open to anything, evil or good, whatever it is, they like to ponder it. They don't know when to stop talking. They talk constantly. They reject God's wisdom continually. It's not that they do foolish things. I do foolish things. I'm a husband. I do foolish things, right? Ladies, your husbands do foolish things, right? Come on, Patty. This is your opportunity. But it's not the person who does foolish things, because we all do foolish things. It's the person who lives doing foolish things. They're constantly doing things, they're foolish. They glory in the things that they should be ashamed of. In other words, the foolish are the ones who say, yeah, I went out and got drunk last night. Had a good time. Oh, yeah, went out and did this with my girlfriend last night. Yeah, that was good, yeah. Or, yeah, I went out partying. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had a lot of good fun. It was all great and it was all wonderful, yeah. They glory in the things that they should be ashamed of. All right? Not only that, they're very unreasonable and they have a disdain for authority. They don't like authority. They hate authority. They don't like a pastor or a boss or anything else having authority over them. They disdain authority. All right, Megan, can you help me? He can't rescue you now. You volunteered. I'm sorry. Yes, you did volunteer. Yeah, well, I asked you and then you agreed. Okay, well, same thing in my book. All right, huh? I know you're not. That's why I picked you for this one, because you're not foolish. But how do you think a foolish person would look? Is that good enough? You think that's good enough? No, I got some no's here. Your friends are telling you no. Get a little more animation. Can you do a little more? You okay? There you go. That's good. Just do that. That's good. Foolishness. We got Megan showing us what foolishness is. All right. Number three, in Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 3, go back a little bit. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 3, the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Okay, book of Proverbs tells us to stay away from the strange women, or I would open this up and say strange people. Now, what is strange here? You're thinking, that's just weird people, right? No. Strange here, you've heard the word stranger mentioned. Okay, that's what he's talking about, the stranger woman. Well, what is a stranger? Let me ask you this, though. When I say stranger, what are you automatically thinking? Danger. Stranger, danger. Isn't that what you teach our kids? Stranger, danger. Stay away from the stranger. Why? What is it about the stranger? Huh? You don't know them. Okay. A strange person. The Bible talks about the stranger over and over and over and over in the Old Testament. A lot of times, they are talked about when it comes to people in the land. All right, the Gentiles living amongst the Jews. And they said, now be really, really careful when it comes to the stranger. They are the person that doesn't belong there. They are the person that doesn't belong. So when we tell our children, stranger, danger, we're telling our children to be careful of the person that doesn't belong with you. All right, and that's what he means here. The stranger is the one who doesn't belong. Now, all right, so who would that be? If you are, and let's just take the context of the passage. If you're a young man and there's a young woman and she is making eyes at you and she's talking real sweet, she's trying to allure you, that would be a strange woman. A strange man would be the guy, listen to me girls, the guy that's going to come over and sweet talk you, tell you how beautiful you are. Oh, you're just so beautiful. You're so smart. You're this, you're that. And you're just the greatest thing in the world. I know they tell you that. And you are in a lot of ways. When your parents tell you that, that's okay. All right? And they just make over you and over you. That's danger. Be careful about that. You guys don't need to be elbowing each other. It's all right. I know it happens. Stay away from that one. Now, let me give you another stranger. This doesn't have necessarily that you don't walk up to and you can't touch or look into their eyes. It's the internet can be the stranger, the person that you're not supposed to be with on the screen. You need to be careful about it. You know who that is? That's the dangerous person that'll take away the innocence, the purity from a young person. But it's also someone that'll take away the sense of purity and innocence from an adult. I know that never happens to adult men and women, does it? Yeah, it does. Beware of the stranger. Beware of the stranger. Come here, Shane. You don't have to say a word. All right, now, your job here is to portray the stranger. This as we're long, the strange person, the strange woman, how would she act? Yeah. All right. Or how about something like? No. There you go. That's better.
That's how I got Nikki.
That how you got Nikki? Okay. And he's still a stranger, isn't he? Stranger danger. All right. Now, let me see that. Come on. There it is. Good job. All right. So we got the wicked, we got the strange, we got the foolish. Number 4. Proverbs chapter 21 verses 9 and 19. Proverbs 21 verse 9, it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house. Anybody know what that means? I was reading that. Some of you do. Hopefully not because you're married to a brawling woman. Verse number 19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. All right, now, here's the thing. It's not just women, okay? There's angry and contentious men. There is, really, Brother Steve, there is. Okay? Let's understand this. The context of the housetop. All right, guys, come on. There you go, good. The housetop. Good. I'm still watching. All right, the housetop. If you was to go back in time to a Jewish city and you was to walk into that city and you would look at the house, you'd go up to the second story under the roof of that house, it'd be flat. A lot of people spent time up there. They slept up there because it would be cool in the summertime. And so he's saying to be up on that rooftop, but you know there's something else about that rooftop. It's nice and cool and sunny in the summer, but you know what else it is during the rainy season? It's wet. When it gets real hot, it's oppressive. It can be very miserable on that rooftop. He said, be careful, because it's better to live on a rooftop and living under nature's worst than to be living in a wide, big house with a contentious person. And then he goes on that second verse. He says, better to be in the wilderness. You know what it means to be in the wilderness? Well, outside, but what about the wilderness? Lost? I think what it means is alone. It's better to be alone than to be with someone who's angry and contentious. All right. What is a contentious person? They cause arguments and strife. They stir the pot. They provoke disunity. People you can't get along with. Luke, come here. Luke graciously offered to help me. So Luke, I'm going to put you right here, man, right here. All right, now can you give me a contentious? Give me contentious. Angry, mean. I know you look so sweet and everything, but I know you got a mean side because you're a teenager, right? You got that. I just got to ask Eli, and he'd tell me, yeah, you do, right? All right, so give me a mean, contentious look. That's good. I like that. Let me see it again. No, show them. Show them. There you go. Mom and Dad, do you see that once in a while? Yes. All right, do it again. I want to see it again. Yeah, good, good. The contentious. Number five, the froward. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 5. He said, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. The froward. Who are the froward? The froward are those who are hard to deal with and hard to please. They are contrary to what is demanded and reasonable in Scripture. Typically, and I read this in a commentary, the froward are the teenagers. You know why? Because they know everything. They know everything. Teenagers know everything. And so they tend to be froward. That's a froward activity, a froward characteristic. And it says the froward will face many difficulties and problems in their life. You know why? Because they think they know it all. They think they've arrived. And guess what? In life, they realize they haven't. And because of that, life just eats them up, snares and thorns. Life is full of problems for them because they think they know it all. All right, Owen, he volunteered for this one, so come on over, Owen. All right, now this is going to be a little harder. I want you right here. All right, so a froward look. What would you consider a froward look? Someone who knows everything. The teenager who knows everything. That's close. I think that's... No. Come over here. All right. Show us what a froward look is. Good. I like that. Now do it again. Here, keep that face right there. The froward. This is the one that thinks they know it all. These are the people... Thank you. All right, one more time before we let you guys go. Megan, you really got to work on the foolish look. Jason can help. Jason will help you with that. All right, let me see it again. Good. 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 Really good. Yes, good. Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. There is a lot of people in here. Everybody wonders why it's so hot on this platform. One, it's 18 inches above, but because there's so many people in here, it's hot in here. Yeah, how many of you noticed my nose? Last week, I stood before you, I cut my lip shaving. This morning, I cut my nose shaving. Now, the next question is, why did you cut your nose? because there's hair that grows out of my nose. I don't know why. It's a white family trait. I don't understand it. No, I'm sorry, Dad. It's Dad. I mean, we got one thing that goes right through here and straight down, and I can't help that. What? Well, we do have a lot of good qualities. Yes. Yeah, I agree. So if I come in with a cut on my ear next week, don't be alarmed. I'm just shaving, all right? All right. Now, we've then went over these. That hurts. Sydney tries to pluck my facial hairs. I don't like it. It hurts. That's why I was never meant to be a female. I couldn't handle all the stuff that it takes to be beautiful. I just got to be ugly and be good with it. All right, so we've got these five people that the Bible says you just don't need to be around them. Now, that creates a problem. What's the problem? Huh? Yeah, that's that, and you're laughing too, Jesse. So she evidently that it struck a chord there. All right, so you're related to them, okay? That's one. They could be who? No, this is going to be real good. Carlos, who could they be? Huh? No, who? That's probably good.
People you work with.
Well, no, I want the family that you mentioned earlier. Could you be more specific in the family area? His brother-in-law. That wasn't what he was thinking. But anyway, all right, family. It could be your children, right? It could be your parents, right? No. It could be your spouse, right? Could be. All right, so family, who else could it be? Carlos, you said you're what, co-worker? Yeah, your co-worker. Who else could it be? Could be yourself? Wouldn't that be like a split personality thing that you have to put up with yourself because I guess it could be. Yeah. Well, yes, it is. And actually, that's good because that's an application. We're going to go there in just a little bit. All right. Who else could it be? Thank you. Church member. Could be a church member. So that creates an interesting dilemma. Proverbs says, avoid these people, stay away from these people, because they can drag you down. But what if that is someone that's related to you? What if it's someone you work with? What if it's a church member sitting on the other side? What do you do with that? Do you just ignore them? Do you ignore your parents? Do you ignore your kids? Do you ignore your spouse? Do you ignore your coworker? Do you ignore the people sitting next to you or across from you? No, that would be rude. And that would be unchristlike. You can't do that. Okay, so what does it mean then for us to avoid them if they're someone that we deal with, someone that God has put in our life? Well, let me give you some four or five things real quick that I believe will help you out. Number one, these are all biblical. These are all biblical. Number one, we have to love them. We have to love them. Colossians chapter 3, we are going to be in the New Testament now, and I like New Testament. It's my favorite part of the Bible, right after the book of Philippians. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 14, above all things put on what? Charity. Charity is what? Love. All right, love. All right, so you got someone in your life, number one thing, you got to love them. You got to love them. You can't hate them. You can't be angry with them all the time. You have to love them. The Bible says love them. Listen, if the Bible says that we're even love our enemies, shouldn't we love the people that irritate us, people maybe that have these characteristics? The answer to that is yes. We are to love them no matter what, no matter what they do. We are still to love them. Number two, the Bible says in Colossians 3:12, he said, he talks about long-suffering. He talks about, let's read it. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Verse number 13, forbearing one another. You know what the word forbear means? It means to put up with. You know, the Bible tells us Paul tells us that there are going to be people in your life that you don't like. There's going to be people in your life like what's in Proverbs. And sometimes we have to put up with them. See, the people sitting around you, you may not like them all the time. You may not like what they do. You may not like who they are. But the Bible tells us, Paul tells us, that we are to put up with them. Bear underneath them. Hold them up. Don't forsake a relationship just because someone is not what you want them to be. Just because someone doesn't treat you the right way. Now, we need to be careful there, and we'll get to that also. So we're to love them, we're to forbear them. Number three in Colossians 3:12, we are, or verse 13, we are to forgive them. He said, forgiving one another. Someone hurt you? Forgive them. How many times do you forgive someone that may be a foolish person or a wicked person? How many times do you forgive them? Every single time, not 490, not 7 times 7, or 7 times 70, but you forgive them all the time. Now, we don't have time, but forgiveness is not having to put up with everything that they do and condone it. That's not forgiveness, by the way, and we don't have time to go there. Number 4, Luke 6:28 tells us to pray for those which despitefully use us. So what do we need to do? We need to pray for them. You've got somebody like that in your life? Pray for them. Pray for them. Bring them before the throne of God. You got someone in your life, and we learned this Wednesday night, a great lesson Wednesday night. I learned a ton Wednesday night. We talked about fasting and when we fast. When you've got someone in your life that's oppressing you, maybe they're a fool, they're a wicked person, they're a froward person, or someone that God's put in your life, and they're really hard to get along with, that'd be a good time to fast for them and you. But pray for them. And then what else? What else should we do? This is the hardest of the whole group. This is where it really gets difficult. The fifth thing. Rebuke them. Rebuke them. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, and I understand Paul is talking to pastors. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. Rebuke. You know what rebuke means? Huh? Correct them. Stacy, you need to do a better job cleaning the house. No, that's just kidding. She does a great job cleaning the house. But rebuke is, it's probably not like that, but it's say, you know, Stacy, I love you. You're a great wife, and I don't know what I'd do without you, but, you know, the house is a little bit dirty, and I'll help you with it, but we don't laugh. We need to work on that, so let's work on that, okay? And I'll be there to help you and support you, all right? Or maybe let's put it back into maybe a context of the message. Maybe you've got someone that is acting in a very wicked way. That's the conduct of their life. You know what you need to do? You need to be willing to go to them in love and in truth and say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. And show them from the Word of God in a loving, kind, compassionate way, what you're doing is wrong. You shouldn't be doing this. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Don't do that. Rebuke them. But you know why? And here's the thing, and this is truth. Nobody wants to rebuke anyone. I mean, how many of you really like to rebuke? Now, there may be some of you out there, you enjoy it, to rebuke other people, and that may be a problem too. I don't know. You know why we don't want to rebuke people? Huh? Rejection. Because when you rebuke someone, there's a good chance they're going to reject you. Anybody like rejection? I hate it. My whole life I've hated. I've been a people-pleasing person. I hate rejection. And sometimes I'll avoid things to avoid the rejection. You know another reason why we don't want to rebuke? Found in Luke chapter number 6. Brother Ralph, you know. We don't want to hurt them. Okay. And you know that's true. But here's what we don't understand. We're hurting them more by not rebuking them than we are by rebuking them. What else? Luke chapter number 6, we find a story told by Jesus about someone going to a brother and talking to him about his faults. Huh? The mote and the beam. He said, if you're going to go help someone and try and rebuke them and correct them for their sin, make sure your life is what? Make sure your life is in order. Make sure you have the beam, big thing out of your eye, before you try to take the mote, something little, out of someone else's eye. We don't want to rebuke because we've got sin in our life, and we can't. We can't. It's like Jesus, when the woman was brought to him, he was taken in adultery, and all the Pharisees were like, stoner, stoner, God. And Jesus said, Jesus, what should we do? And I love this. I love this. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And what did it say? They all walked away. Why? Because they had sin. You know why we don't like to rebuke? Because of rejection. We don't like to rebuke because we know we're going to hurt somebody. We don't like to rebuke because that means we have to have our life in order. And that's hard. But listen, folks, when we love people, we will rebuke them because that is loving people. I love my kids. I have rebuked them. And I will say this, at times, my kids have rebuked me when I was wrong. And that's a hard one to handle, but it was the right thing for them to do. All right? When you've got people in your life that fit in these five categories, you can't just walk away from them completely. But I believe this is what Proverbs is telling us. Don't let these people influence you. Don't let their sin cause you to sin. And what that looks like in an individual case, it's hard to say. But I do believe the scriptures, and I believe they're true. And I believe God gives us a way to handle these people in our life. Now, if they're not someone that's your family, not someone that's close to you, teenagers, can I tell you this? If you've got those kind of people in your life and you have no ties to them, let them go because they're going to hurt you. Story after story of that happening. Moms and dads, be careful about people in your life that can cause you to sin. The wicked, the foolish, the froward, the strange. Be careful about being around them a lot and letting them influence your life. It will hurt you and cause you to live a life that's not pleasing to God. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for the truth of it. And sometimes your word is hard. Sometimes it's difficult to do. But you have told us that we are to follow it, we're to follow Christ, and in following Christ, we're going to follow his word. So help us to do that. And Lord, there may be some people here, I don't know, maybe that is the characteristic of their life. Help them to see that. Help them to take the rebuke. Help them to take the criticism and be willing to change. And Father, help us to always handle people and always handle situations with love and prayer, compassion, truth. Lord, we want to impact the lives of the people around us. And sometimes that can be very difficult, but it's what you've called us to do. Lord, we ask if there's one here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, may they come to know him before it's too late. Help us to be your children that walks with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many preachers? I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. You lift up your hand and say, that's me. I know that. Amen. Thank you. You can put those down. I think almost every hand, unless one wasn't raised that I didn't see. Maybe you're here today and you couldn't raise your hand. You don't know that you're saved. And you'd be willing to raise your hand with no one looking around but me and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I just don't know that I'm saved." Would you, maybe that's you. Would you lift up your hand if that's you? Nobody looking around but me, is that you? Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with that person. Maybe you're frustrated and aggravated, and sometimes you just get downright angry. And sometimes you just want to walk away and give up. I don't believe that's what God would have us to do. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to be careful. We need to handle things in a loving, compassionate way. But we also need to make sure that we're being biblical, make sure we're doing the things that God has called us to do. And unfortunately, sometimes that means confronting. My prayer for you, if you know someone like that, if you have someone like that in your life, that you handle that. Deal with that. It'll bless them, and it'll bless you. Father, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.